And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. Happy Thursday to all of you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me as we together, we sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak. That's what we do here on this program. That's what we're about to do here today. First of all, I invite you guys to church this weekend. If you're new to the area, if you enjoy this radio program, why don't you consider coming by and visiting Island? We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Our service starts around 10:35 on Sunday morning, Wednesdays at 6. We teach the Word, the New Testament verse by verse, really is what we do. Wednesday nights, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians. Sunday mornings, we're soon close to wrapping up the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 12 this weekend. Here's our text for this Sunday. It says, "Therefore, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin." You see, there's weight that's just not sin. There's weight that's dogging you down. I like to use the baseball term. It's like a baseball a hitter when he's in the on-deck circle. He's got this thing on his bat that's called a donut. It's this heavy weight that he puts on his bat and swings with it. So when he pops the weight off, his bat speed is going to improve, and then he's ready to face a professional league fastball coming. This is what he means by this. Weight and sin. He's not even talking about sin. He'll get to that in a minute. But throw off the weights. Throw off the weight out here that dogs you. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. Throw off the weight. Throw off. This is like you keep striking out when you come up to the plate. You strike out every time and you wonder, why am I striking out? Answer, because you got a weight on your bat. And the author here is saying, cast off that weight that's causing you to swing too slow. There's other things as well. Bad people in your life. They will dog you. They will prevent you. They will get you off course and have you stop along the way on this race, trying to prevent you from crossing the finish line. Because remember, if you don't cross the finish line, you'll never see the inside of heaven. You must cross the finish line in faith. You have to persevere to the end. There's no other option other than that. All seven letters to all seven churches, the promise is for everyone who overcomes. You must be a card-carrying member of Overcomers Anonymous. So the author here warns us, encourages us, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. As just like a trap that Satan has set to trap you, a spring-loaded trap that's camouflaged under some leaves trying to trap you and ensnare you. Then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the agona race. Catch the word agony, is the underlying Greek word there. The agony, the marathon race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. You are invited. I encourage you guys, worship here at Island Community Church. We'd love to see you. Look for the video for the sermon uploaded on our YouTube page, Island Community Church YouTube page. That'll be up there by 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Okay, we're looking at this third church here, the Lord's letter to the church at Pergamos. As always, he's writing to the spiritual leader there, the messenger, the angelos. Most Bibles call it angel. I believe it's the pastor or the messenger. He commends them. He knows their works. He commends them. He knows where they live. That's because they share a zip code with the devil himself. And that they did not deny his faith. Remember, it's his faith. Even our faith is not our own. It's a gift. Now, on the critical and corrective side, he says that some hold to the doctrine of Balaam, also hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, this is the second time he's going to say that he hates people that are masquerading as Christians that are teaching a particular doctrine. And that doctrine is the heading for this church as well. And that is compromise. Jesus hates compromise. He hates when you give up the core doctrine in order to compromise, or if you give up an important truth in order to get along in the world, to get along with society, or to get along with the government, to give up something that's vitally important in order to just get along. Hence all those churches you find around here. There's one in Melbourne and one in Merritt Island. They're called Unity Church. Sounds all nice. My wife even asked me, hey, Unity Church, maybe we can get them on the radio. That's everyone just unity, called us to unity, right? Well, you see, you've got to compromise something in order to get along. That's the problem with unity, you see. I don't know about sin. Let's just, we don't want to offend anyone, so we're going to compromise some core truths. Jesus says he's the only way. We don't want to offend anyone, so we're going to compromise a little on the person of Jesus. Remember, that's the doctrine of Christ. John says, whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You can't compromise on these things. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. There's no compromise. The Lord Jesus lived a sinless life. There's no compromise. The Lord Jesus, God, took a body. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There's no compromise on that. Jesus died for our sins. There's no compromise. Jesus is coming back again. There's no compromise. And Jesus, according to John 14, 6, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Those are the truths that we don't compromise on. Now, everything else is okay. You go to another church, other denominations, they worship their own way. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about compromising on these core important things. Sin is still sin. Salvation is through the Son alone. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no compromise in that. I'm declared righteous with God because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Same as Abraham. Abraham believed God. We read in Genesis 15, 6. And his faith was credited to him as righteousness. God saves people the same way. It's by faith. We don't compromise on that. So that's the problem here. They're compromising. They were putting up, especially with this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was teaching compromise. So let's read through these verses again. Let's pick it up again from the top. Now, to the pastor of the church at Pergamos, right? These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. We looked at this in yesterday's program. What does he mean by that? Well, we got to go to where he's coming back. Look at how the Lord Jesus is coming back. They're not going to spit in his eye when he comes back. They're not going to pull out his beard when he comes back. They're not going to hang him on a cross when he comes back. He's not dying again when he comes back. He's coming back in flaming fire inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. No compromise on that. This is what he means by that when he describes who he is. He has the sharp two-edged sword. Also, you read Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, when he returns, probably related to the same text we just looked at. It says, the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth, this is Revelation 19, verse 15, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, so that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what he means by this. It's the words that come out of his mouth. It's his tongue. The words that say, peace be still, or little girl, arise, or Lazarus, come forth, or may no fruit ever grow on you ever again. Here it's going to be in flaming fire. Here it's going to be drop dead. You see, this is why there's such an urgency in the Bible not to put off until tomorrow. There is no such thing for you as tomorrow. Once tomorrow comes, it's too late. If you die first, it's too late. Or if Jesus cracks the skies and he comes back, it's too late. That's why the Bible warns you that today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Where your fathers tested me and they tried me. They saw my works 40 years. He says, so I swore my wrath that they shall not enter his rest. Paul says, we then as workers together with God, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Grace, something you don't deserve, something you haven't earned. God is extending it to you here today on this Thursday. He's extending you grace. He's extending you a pardon to escape these coming tribulations. Or in eternity in hell. He's offering you the opportunity to be right with God. He's offering you the opportunity for you to be reconciled back to him. He's offering you the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. He's offering you eternal, everlasting life. What's required of you is to turn from your sins and turn and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as receive him, to them he's given them the dunamis, the power, the authority to become children of God. God wants to adopt you into his family. All you need to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. While it's still today, because the time is coming where it won't be today. Once tomorrow comes, it's too late. We then, as workers together with him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now let's head down here to verse 13. He says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith. Isn't it funny how he says you didn't deny your faith? He says to them, you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. All right, so there's actually a few good things going on here in the compromising church. Remember, he's writing to the pastor here. He acknowledges that Pergamos was a tough place to live, naturally being only 20 miles away from Smyrna. Here in Pergamos, they worship the same false gods that the problem they had down the street here in Smyrna. Also, too, this man, Antipas, famous man. He's probably in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He should be. This man was burned alive in a bronze kettle because he would not deny the name of Jesus Christ. Now, also, this Pergamos was known for their famous university. Pergamos U, we'll call it. PU, right? You see that under a little shirt, like Henry Blake with his Indiana IU. Here they got PU, Pergamos U. I even heard that they were in the Big Ten there. PU on the shirts. I go to PU. Imagine that. Things sure did stink around there anyway, with a bunch of false gods and idol worship every which way you turn. I could see you did go to PU. As well as you got the devil hanging his hat there. Must have smelled like the Banana River does out here. If you're ever driving around out here in Merritt Island, probably does smell like PU. Anywhere where Satan hangs his hat sure does smell like PU to me. All right, now here comes the Lord's correction to this church. Well, he also, he commends them for holding fast, standing firm in the name of Jesus, that is not giving up when times are tough in the midst of persecution. And he commends them for not denying his faith. Again, not their faith, his faith. You see, your faith belongs to him. Your faith has been imparted to you as a gift. You believe in the Son of God because you've had help. No one understand Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. Your faith is a gift from God. The Apostle Paul says, pray for us. This is an evil world out here. Pray for us that we may be delivered from evil and unreasonable men, because not everyone has faith. Not everyone has faith. You believe in the Son of God, friend, because you've had help. No one understand it. Salvation is of the Lord. You've had help. God has intervened in your life. God has imparted to you faith. Philippians 1:29, it says, for to you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. This has been imparted to you. It has been granted. The Greek word charis means gifted. To you it's been gifted these two things, not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. That's been gifted to you. I'm sorry to tell you, but suffering is a gift as well. It's been gifted to you. Galatians 2:16, no one, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, you need a King James Version Bible to read that way, but the King James, let me take my hat off to them, because they've got this right. In Greek, that's how this reads. The faith belongs to him. Most translations say faith in Jesus Christ. The correct reading here is faith of Jesus Christ. Knowing that, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says he wants to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So praise God for his glorious gift of faith. Make no mistake about it, you believe in the Son of God because God has imparted to you the gift of faith. His faith has been imparted to you. That's how you are able to believe, and that's why you're not like the 6 billion unbelievers out here in the world. Even the Apostle Paul had people killed because someone told him about Jesus, but he was given this gift of faith. You can't do it on your own. It's without faith, it is impossible to please God. just want you to see faith is not something everyone has. It's not something you've been mulling over for some time. Your faith is a gift. First of all, second of all, your faith that you have is his faith, and his faith has been imparted into you. All right, on to the Lord's corrections, verse 14. But I've got a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who told Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So the church at Ephesus was commended for hating this, but these guys here seem to be guilty of it, because he says, I've got this against you, that, you see, the one church in Ephesus didn't put up with it, compromise. Here they are putting up with it. It's the same problem. Unity, like I said, there's too many unity churches in town here that are putting up with, and they're compromising on the core doctrine of the faith of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. Ephesus was commended for not putting up with it. These guys are guilty of having too many unity churches here in town. Compromise. Turning from God's righteous standard because of the government and because of the surrounding culture. Like allowing the women to be the spiritual leaders in the church. That's compromise. That's caving into society because of a movement. When you let the women be spiritual leaders and the pastors of the church, you've compromised because of pressure from your surroundings. It's caving into society because of a movement. Like not talking about sin to get people to come to your church so that they won't be offended. That's compromise. When you refuse to talk about sin in your church because you don't want to offend anyone and because you want people to keep coming in, that is compromise. Or like having your church resemble the world so that sinners will feel at home there and feel comfortable there. When you make your church, when you start having fog machines at your church, and when you start making people feel at home, or feel like they're at the Amway Center, or feel comfortable, feel like their own surroundings, feel like their own home when they come to church, you've compromised. The church is God's house. It's supposed to feel different. How in the world could you compromise on that? You don't want this place to feel like your home when you come here. You want this place to feel like God's house when you come here. And let me tell you what, my associate pastor and I, this is a hill that we will die on. That when you come to Island Community Church, this is not going to feel like your house. It's going to feel like God's house. And it's a hill that we'll die on here to ensure that when you come and visit this church, it's going to feel like God's house. You're going to experience his presence here because we refuse to compromise here. We're not going to compromise on any of those things in order to get along with society, to get along with the government, or have this a feel-good place that this feels the same as this does when you go out on a Friday night. You want the same feeling here, same music here, same wah-wah pedals here, same large amplifiers, same smoke and fog machine. We're not going to do that here because that, in my opinion, is compromise. As the spiritual leader in this church, that's how I feel, and that's how we do it here. So, okay, you know what? Let's wrap it up right there here for today. We will wrap up this letter here, the Lord Jesus' letter to this compromising church at Pergamos. We'll wrap this up next time. Again, I invite you guys to church this weekend. I encourage you. Worship here at Island Community Church. There's no compromise here. You will experience the presence of God here at this church because we still call a spade a spade. We still call sin sin. We still lift up and exalt the person of Jesus Christ because it's all about him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Different now, now that my heart's been found, nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder, yeah, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifying, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know this is not my home, I know I don't walk alone. No matter what comes my way, I have peace through the trouble, I have joy through the struggle. Now my hope's in a brighter day. I am a mountain mover, water set free.